Obituary.
Dr. Ruth. The sex therapist who shook America out of its Puritan ways died on July 12th, aged 96.
Not many people like to boast how short they are, but Ruth Westheimer did. She was all of 4'7", or in rough metric, 1.5 meters. To reach the shelf of the cabinet in her parents' bedroom, where they kept a book all about sex, with a juicy chapter called The Ideal Marriage, she had to climb on a chair. When she went to lectures in psychology at the Sorbonne, as a young woman, she had to find a strong, handsome guy who could pop her up on a windowsill to see the teacher. Her third husband, Fred, first appealed to her because he was short too, as well as good at skiing. On late-night talk shows, when she took a chair beside the host to lay a confiding hand on his arm and chat about genitalia, her little feet swung inches above the ground. There were plenty such shows. Throughout the 1980s and 1990s, her fame mushroomed until she became a psychosexual therapist to the nation. Wise words poured out of her, and many became books, 45 at the last count. She had one mission, to promote sexual literacy, so that Americans could talk freely and frankly about penises and vaginas, what felt good and where, and what they wanted more of. No more blushes and wrigglings or the silly idea that it wasn't quite right to discuss these things. Americans should talk about sex as they talked about food. And she was the ideal teacher. She was motherly, latterly grandmotherly, German-Jewish-American with an accent to match, and could dish out advice on foreplay as readily as chicken soup. She started the whole thing when, working as a sex therapist and as a researcher for Planned Parenthood, she could see that people needed help. How about a radio program? In 1980, a local station in New York gave her 15 minutes after midnight on Sundays for Sexually Speaking. In a year, it was an hour-long phone-in. As many as 653 calls would come, of which she could answer only 20 or 30. In 1984, the Dr. Ruth Show aired on TV, and from then on, she was never idle, nor quiet, nor manageable. Twice she made David Letterman walk off set, but really, for nothing very shocking. She told him she had advised a lonely older woman, if she wanted to feel something in her vagina, to try a cucumber. The next time, she reported the anxiety of a young man whose girlfriend liked to toss onion rings onto his erection. Mr. Letterman thought her show should be called Great Salad Hints. She liked to be outrageous, but also kind. At her public Q&As, she never asked personal questions, and her answers were simple. Fantasies while lovemaking, fine, but keep your mouth shut. Aphrodisiacs, pointless, because the only aphrodisiac you needed was right between your ears. The G-spot, no such thing. Bored in the bedroom, be like a turtle. She collected turtles, toy ones, and stick your neck out. Try new positions, perhaps just on Wednesdays, and see where they get you. Also, wrap up your worries in a package and leave them outside the door. Drink a little wine and have a little sleep, before, not after. He wants more sex than you? Give him an orgasm. It only takes 2 minutes. Masturbation? Perfectly healthy, and people should do it more. She preferred, though, to call it self-gratification. Her audience should always know that she was properly trained in psychology and sociology as well as sexual therapy and had a doctorate in education. It took serious dedication to train, just by talking, the best lovers in the tri-state area. How were her own relationships? Varied. Her first husband, David, wanted to go back to his native Israel, and she wanted to keep studying in Europe. Separation was a good deal. He got the Lambretta scooter, and she got the divorce. Second came Dan, French-Israeli, gorgeous-looking, but they were boyfriend-girlfriend, really, not solid enough for marriage. He got the car, and she kept their daughter, Miriam. Third came Fred, her real husband of 36 years. It was Fred who heard her out when she came home from her sex therapist course, exclaiming that there must be something wrong with these people. They didn't talk about politics or the weather or restaurants. All they talked about was sex. And Fred, who tolerated her newly eyebrow-raising conversation when she discovered for herself, only days later, that sex was a truly fabulous topic. But he was banned from her public discussions because he would only raise his hand to say, "Don't listen to her, it's all talk." And he had once remarked, when asked point blank about their sex life, "The shoemaker's children don't have shoes." Sex, though, was not her only subject. She liked to broaden it out to love and joie de vivre. She did not dwell on the tragedy that ended her sunny German childhood when her father was arrested by the Nazis and her mother sent her to Switzerland to a children's home that soon became an orphanage. After 1941, no more letters came for her. At 16, she took herself to Palestine, joined Haganah, and fought for the new land of Israel, staying a Zionist her life long. She was trained as a sniper, so she could assemble and take apart a submachine gun in the dark, and knew how to throw hand grenades. She never killed anybody, but could have done. It was sometimes fun to remind interviewers of that. She also liked to evoke her Orthodox upbringing. Though she campaigned so fiercely for sexual liberty and gay rights, she was also the girl who went weekly to synagogue with her father. She was old-fashioned and a square. She liked long relationships and urged contraception outside marriage. Matchmaking was fine with her, good taste was her watchword, and she had a whole sheaf of quotes from the Talmud up her sleeve. Her favourite was, "A lesson taught with humour is a lesson retained." Along with the giggling came a lot of finger-wagging, too. Secure in all these ways, she breezed into old age. Interestingly, by her late 80s she had lost a quarter of an inch in height. Much more, and you wouldn't see her, but you would still hear her. No possible doubt of that.